This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The cost of occupation in Iraq are mounting in lives and dollars, and that is eroding support for the war and confidence in President Bush at home. The Pentagon announced Tuesday that the 115 American troops killed in combat in Iraq since May 1st, the day Bush declared combat operations over, exceeds the 114 killed by hostile fire during the war itself. In all, 355 service members have died, 138 during the war, 217 after it ended. 10% of the combat deaths since the war began have been in the Army National Guard and Reserve units. The United Nations is temporarily pulling its staff out of Baghdad while it evaluates the security situation, but UN workers will remain in northern Iraq, according to a spokesman. The spokesman would not say when the staff would leave Baghdad or give other details. About 20 UN staff members remained in Baghdad and some 40 others across Iraq. The decision was announced 2 days after the car bombing at the Baghdad headquarters of the Red Cross. Red Cross International Committee and the humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders also said Wednesday that they were pulling out workers, despite pleas from the U.S. administration to stay. Senior Republicans have begun raising concerns about the administration's strategy in Iraq amid daily attacks on U.S. forces there. And although most Republicans feel President Bush's overall positive assessment of Reconstruction to be the correct path, some warn of political trouble if there are no immediate signs of improvement. Asked whether he favored any policy changes in Iraq, Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi, who avoided military service, has offered an unorthodox military solution. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down. See what happens. You're dealing with insane suicide bombers who are killing our people, and we need to be very aggressive in taking them out. Canada said on Wednesday it was building barriers in the waters around its 7 nuclear power plants to protect against a possible attack by ships carrying explosives. Officials said that although they had no word of a particular threat, a security assessment recommended more precautions. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A 6-foot-tall emu led a half a dozen pest control workers on a 90-minute chase through woods and brushland before the flightless bird was snared and then gang-tackled. Gene Hamm has caught raccoons, possums, coyotes, deer, squirrels, foxes, and other critters in his job, but Tuesday's chase was his first encounter with an emu, an ostrich-like bird native to Australia. "That was by far the toughest thing we've ever caught," Hamm said. "It was quick, and it put up a tough fight once we caught it." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCaps.
I've been to the state fair twice. I've been embroiled in Texas politics, and I've dug into the thievery of Wall Street and Washington. But I've never seen such jaw-dropping stupidity as the latest proposal from George W.'s Interior Department. The boneheads in charge of administering our nation's policies toward the world's endangered species have decided that the way to save Asian elephants, Amazon parrots, and other species threatened with extinction is to kill them. What we have here is more of the ivory tower laissez-faire bourgeois that substitutes for thinking in this corporatized administration. Their assertion is that if America's pet industry, circus companies, fur and skin purveyors, and safari firms were able to harvest a big bunch of these already endangered animals each year, these corporations would pay harvest fees for each animal taken, thus allowing governments in these impoverished countries to funnel the money into better conservation programs for the animals that survive. It would be akin to letting a crime syndicate pay fees for its own heists so local police could fund crime prevention lectures. Of course, in the real world, what this harebrained scheme would do is to put a price on the head of every animal, providing an irresistible and uncontrollable market incentive for freelance entrepreneurs to kill, ship, and profit from endangered wildlife. Yet Interior Department officials are pushing blindly and unilaterally ahead with their executive reinterpretation of the Endangered Species Act, simply dismissing anyone who protests. As one Bushite scoffed, "There are critics who are going to claim some kind of ulterior motive to our action." This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, the motive is your mindless determination to twist all laws to serve corporate interests. To fight their perversion, call the Animal Welfare Institute, 703-836-4300.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart. You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Swallowing all life's
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here is 800-TALK-YES. And if you'd like to email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. It appears that Sirius Left, Channel 145, is doing a hockey game tonight. If you normally listen on Sirius and have been forced to listen back on a computer or over-the-air radio station, I do apologize. That's just the way Sirius does it, I guess. They tell us that when they do not broadcast this program live, that they put it on the air on Sirius probably, I don't know what, Kathy, 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, something. You can go to, you can call Sirius yourself if you'd like to. It's 888-539-7474. It's a toll-free number, 888-539-7474, and register your interest in that. Dennis Kucinich, in a little less than a half an hour, will join us via telephone, and we have some sound from Rumsfeld today. Not much, but some. From his press conference. A lot of you listen through radiopower.org, Shelby LePray's website. It's fundraising time again. Go to her website if you don't mind and see what you can do. Radiopower.org. Lots of stupid stories here. First of all, a follow up on the item we shared with you the other night about the little boy that was arrested for playing with a toy gun in the Cleveland, well, not Cleveland, but Lorain, Ohio. There's a follow-up here. The 9-year-old boy arrested at gunpoint and accused of creating a public disturbance. Jesus, let me pause a second. Oh, my God. The 9-year-old boy arrested at gunpoint, accused of creating a public disturbance for waving a toy gun in the air, will not face charges. How about that? But his mother will. She's being charged with obstruction, according to prosecutors in Ohio. Isn't that nice? Mother comes to the aid of her child, who's just been slammed to the ground and handcuffed by a cop, 9-year-old boy, and she now will face charges. The Lorain County prosecutor who reviewed the case against a 9-year-old said the facts did not support a criminal prosecution of the child. Jesus, the facts did not support a criminal prosecution against the child. Well, I can remember. See, I raised one of my sons with no guns, no toy guns, nothing. And he turned out fine. As a matter of fact, he's has begun his training to become a firefighter. But I had guns when I was a kid growing up. Cap guns, cap pistols. And I loved it. Oh, my God. I was just a cowboy freak. Going to the movie on Saturday afternoon, watch Hopalong Cassidy movies and Roy Rogers movies and Lash LaRue and all that stuff. Oh, loved my cap guns. Halloween, we used to, you know, us boys who would dress up like cowboys, or we boys who dress up like cowboys, we would wear guns to school. Think about that for a second. So I know what it's like to be a 9-year-old kid with a toy gun. And I don't, you know, a cop drive down the street when I was 9 years old, had a toy gun, you'd point it at the cop and go bang, 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 and the cop would stick his finger out the window and point back at you and go bang, bang, bang. What do you think would happen now? Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, this young boy's mother. Oh, and did I mention the mom and the kid are Americans of African descent? Yeah, they're not white people. Okay, keep that in mind. The young boy's mother was charged with resisting arrest and obstructing official business. Obstructing official business in connection with the incident. She pled not guilty at a hearing yesterday. Now, you remember, it happened on Saturday. The youngster was arrested at gunpoint, handcuffed, taken a police cruiser to the police station in Lorain, where he was charged with inducing panic. Inducing panic. Panic. Don't look at me and roll your eyes, Kathy. Inducing panic is what the 9-year-old kid was charged with, okay? Playing with a plastic gun outside a beauty salon where his mother was having her hair done. After, here it comes. Are you ready? He was sitting there playing with his little plastic gun. Mom was getting a hairdo. He was sitting outside on a bench. And a passing motorist noticed the child and called police with a report that a black male was waving a handgun in the air. There you go. Now you understand, don't you? Huh? Hello, 911. Listen, I'm just a regular person. I don't want to cause any trouble. Yes, I'm white. I saw a Negro with a gun, a black male, oh, Jesus, with a gun in front of the beauty salon, waving it in the air, you know, like he's on crack or something like that. Could you please have the police come out, send a riot squad, maybe a couple of helicopters? This is another one of these black people with a gun. Oh. Patrolman dispatched to investigate. The report found the boy sitting on a bench waving the gun in the air. Officer Joe Novsielski said in his report, I ordered him to drop the gun and lie on the ground. Well, he was a black male, and he did have a gun. I didn't know at the time whether or not it was a real gun or a real black male. I had no idea. According to his police report, the cop then realized he was dealing with a kid and a plastic gun that had been spray painted with black paint. Can you imagine the cheesy nature of this little plastic toy? I had cap guns that used to go bang, 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 bang. Anyway, the cop proceeded to handcuff the child, put him in the police cruiser. Anyway, at that point, the boy's mother came running out of the salon, attempted to intervene, pleading, this in the police report, pleading with the officer to let her son off with a warning. He was just playing, Mom said. He didn't point it at anyone. Don't you have anything better to do? According to the report, the 28-year-old mom then attempted to yank her son out of the officer's grasp. Give me my son. At which point, he handcuffed her, too. And took Mom and the son to the police station. Pre-trial hearing has been set for November 14th, according to the Lorain City Prosecutor's Office, which is handling her case. She faces up to 270 days in jail and a fine of up to $2,250 on the three counts. Well. Now, of course, the question comes up. Yes, you know I was going to bring this up, right? Suppose this 9-year-old kid would have been white, huh? The 9-year-old kid would have been white. First of all, there wouldn't have been a complaint. But then when the white cop showed up, hey, sonny, what you doing?
Just sitting here playing with my gun.
Okay, where's Mama?
She's in getting her hair done.
Okay, you have fun now.
Okay, officer friendly, thank you.
But it was a black male. Jesus. Hey, George Bush is out there again. This time, did you see the picture that's circulating around the internet? He was at a church. No, it was a Christian youth center in Dallas. And where he spoke, he was up at the podium speaking, and there were banners behind him, banners with the cross, the cross upon which Jesus and all sorts of people were crucified back in the day. But there's crosses over each shoulder. One said King of Kings and the other said Lord of Lords, kind of like mission accomplished. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, if you go to the internet and look for this picture, you'll find it. It's there. It's there. You may find it in the Washington Post. But there's a picture of George Bush with the picture I saw. It said, King of Kings, with a crown and a halo and picture of a white Christ. Or no, there was no Christ in it, just a cross. That's right. He was speaking at this Christian youth center in Dallas. You know, he's off on another vacation. He gave an unusually candid assessment of religion's role in leading him from being someone who was a drug addict, a drunk, and assisting in providing abortions to at least one of his girlfriends, not to mention a deserter, and God knows what else. You see, his poll numbers are dropping, so Karl Rove has gone to the born-again Bush trick again, you see. Appeal to the base. Have a picture of George. I'm a sinner. I was a sinner, but I found Jesus. Bush said to a cheering audience at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, quote, you got to understand that sometimes, and a lot of times, the best way to help the addict, a person who is stuck on drugs and alcohol, is to change your heart. See, if you change your heart, then they change your behavior. And I know. It says here, Dana Bilbank, writing in the Post, says, though Bush often speaks of the importance of religion in his life, Aide said it was the first time he tied his discovery of God so directly to his recovery from the heavy drinking and rowdiness, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that characterized his young adulthood. Young adulthood? 40? Didn't George say on his 40th birthday, after puking his guts up from too much drugs and alcohol, he stopped? 40? Young adulthood? Is that young adulthood now, Kathy? That's like Henry Hyde's youthful indiscretion when he was in his 40s, when he committed adultery and broke up another family. According to the Post, Bush received a boisterous and enthusiastic welcome from hundreds of students, most of whom were black. Is that what this says? That's what it says. I guess the Post had to put that in there. Introduced by his friend Tony Evans, the senior pastor, Bush spoke with banners of the cross over each shoulder, yada, yada, yada. Bush stopped at Oak Cliff to promote his compassion agenda on his way to his ranch outside Waco, Texas. Well, if these were predominantly black children, it's a damn good thing, right, that nobody drove by that church and heard all the clapping and yelling inside with the Secret Service cars outside, or some white guy would have called the police and said, I think they're killing the president in there. All these black males are screaming and yelling. You better send somebody.
I said, hey, what do you want? One bourbon, one God, and one beer.
I could have passed a background check on the standards applied on the most stringent conditions when my dad was president of the United States, a 15-year period.
If Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
They're free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Tom Hartman Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Devon. He was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour, about 8 or 9 minutes, Dennis Kucinich is scheduled to join us. Dave is calling from Royal Oak, Michigan. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. Hey, the Michigan legislature just passed a law, or they're working on a law,
yeah,
that would prohibit 16-year-old drivers from driving with more than one person, one unrelated person in their vehicles, unless they had a note from their parents.
I like that. I happen to like that.
Kidding me?
No, and I think the reason I like it is because in the county right next to the one I live in one of the suburban counties of Atlanta, DeKalb County, and the county right next to me, Gwinnett County, So far, we have lost, what is it, Kathy, 15 teenagers this school year. 15 teenagers killed, I'm sorry, not school year, this calendar year. 15 teenagers killed. These are all 15, 16, and 17-year-olds. Statistics show that a young driver, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, that the chances of that driver dying in a car wreck increases exponentially in relation to the number of other kids who are in the car with him or her. Now, it's a sad fact. I'm sorry. But it would be great if we didn't have to even attempt to legislate common sense. But parents who allow their children at age 16 to pick a pack of kids, put them in a car, these high-powered SUVs that will tip over at the slightest, you know, they, what happened? Here's the latest one. Three teenage girls were killed down here 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks. Let me tell you what happened. They were in a van and they're driving 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, no drugs, no alcohol. These are three good teenage girls. The girl driving, the right front wheel got off the road. She overcorrected to bring it back on the road because she was an inexperienced driver, chatting and carrying on with her girlfriends. You know, that's what got him in the problem the first time. The car lurches, the van lurches across the road, slams head on into a tree. Two of them killed at the scene. The girl who was driving died about 5 days later.
Wouldn't you attribute that terrible accident and all of the tragedies to the unfortunate nature of youth to be distracted? And it could be radio,
yeah, cell well, phones. No, no.
It could be cell phones.
It could be. Yes, it could be. It could be anything. But the fact is, the research, look, CDC is right here. They do these studies to find out why are so many teenagers dying in car wrecks. And what they have found, no, it's not the radio, it's not coffee, it's not putting on lipstick or combing a hair if it's a boy. It is teenagers in the same car. When teenagers are in the same car, they're going to die at a greater rate. They are more distracted. And I just have to ask you, what do you dislike about the law? Why are you opposed to
it? What I dislike is that, very simply, it allows an officer to now increase his ability to pull somebody over. You've got a group of teenagers who are breaking no laws. He can now pull them over because he sees three people in the car.
Well, let me ask you.
He can ask for everybody's driver's license. He's got to see who's related to who. He's got to check the
notes. Well, if the law says that in Michigan, the law being considered, then it goes too far. It should be very simple. If you are under a certain age and you're driving a vehicle, if you're 15 with a learner's fare, whatever, 16, 17, 18 years old, since you are in a category that is A, easily distracted, and B, going to die, you're going to die. Unless in a car wreck as a teenager, I don't mean every teenager in a car where there are a clutch of teenagers, but the chances of it happening are so much greater. Now, let me ask you something. What do you, and we only have very few seconds. What do you think of a motorcycle helmet laws? You for them or against them?
I'm against them.
You're against compulsory helmet laws?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the individual's right to decide.
No, it isn't. No, it is not the individual. It's the individual's right to decide.
Mike,
if the individual says and his entire family says, no, we're not going to ask the state to put him on life support. We're not going to ask the insurance company to jack up everybody else's rates because this moron got on a motorcycle without a helmet. No, I'm sorry. We disagree on this one, Dave, and I have to leave it there. We can discuss this at another time. I'll be happy to. But we got a boogie. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are building a giant telescope that will look through the Earth and into the universe. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deep in the ice of the South Pole, researchers are building a telescope to look for tiny particles from outer space. It's different from most telescopes because it faces into the Earth. The telescope is part of an international project known as IceCube. Jim Mattson is a physics professor at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls, and he's the education director for IceCube. Mattson says the new telescope will use the Earth as a filter to screen out everything except cosmic particles called neutrinos. Neutrinos travel across the cosmos and through anything that's in their way. Mattson says these high-energy particles can tell stories about what has happened inside the sun or distant stars.
These neutrinos, in essence, are created when the reactions take place inside the sun or inside other stars. And they come shooting out and able us to tell what's going on inside the star without having to be there at the star itself.
Trillions of neutrinos pass through the Earth every second. They leave no trace except for the rare times when they collide with an atom. Then they create new particles that leave trails of light. Mattson says they'll follow those trails to find the neutrinos. He says it's like trying to follow a boat at night by looking for its wake instead of the boat itself.
So if you can imagine having buoys on the surface of a lake, and at night you could have a boat go by, and just by seeing when the buoys bobbed up and down, you could track the motion of that boat without ever having to see the boat.
The IceCube telescope will sit more than a kilometer deep in the ice of Antarctica and stretch more than 8 city blocks on each side. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800 Talk, yes, is the number. Joining us is Dennis Kucinich from Washington, D.C., Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who is also a candidate for the Democratic nomination to be President of the United States. Congressman, thanks for taking time out to join us again.
Thank you very much, Mike. I'm calling you from the cloakroom off the floor of the House, and we have a series of votes. So I may have to duck away for 10 seconds to vote, but I'll be right back.
Okay. As long as you're there and you're voting on stuff, talk to us for a second about the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act, one that you've introduced or you're sponsoring, H.R. 3171. What is that about?
That bill would repeal essentially all the provisions of the Patriot Act, which are unconstitutional by the assessment of many Americans. The Patriot Act, when it was passed in a climate of fear. Mm-hmm. And the House voted on it in the dead of night without reading the text, which gave the government broad powers to gain information from people's computers and go in and download it without people knowing about it, to obtain reading lists and records of videos that are rented or purchased,
right,
to be able to get a whole variety of personal records. And this is repugnant to the Bill of Rights, and so I've led a group of congressmen in introducing legislation to repeal it.
By the way, I just have to comment. I think most people listening to this program appreciate the fact that you are present for House votes, unlike some Democratic candidates who've missed key votes, mostly on the Senate side, but it does go on, and we respect the fact that you are there for these votes.
Well, I try to make it. I mean, you know, I don't have a perfect record right now because some presidential debates have taken place during votes. I've asked for them not to be scheduled at that time, but I don't control the scheduling. I try to make the votes as much as I can.
That's why they sent you there, right?
Right.
Let me ask you this. I read the comments that you made after Bush's press conference the other day where he was talking about the so-called successes that we are not having in Iraq, but it's being spun by the White House as success. When you look at the record, and not just the record of this administration, Congressman, but also what I would call the total incompetence bordering on leading this country in a way that we don't want to go. And then I think about why Bill Clinton was impeached. I just have to ask you this question, because I ask it on the program all the time. Why has no Democratic member of the House introduced a bill of impeachment?
I think there's probably a couple of reasons. First of all, because you wouldn't be able to get the votes in the House to be able to get the issue over to the Senate. Next, because you couldn't get the votes in the Senate for a conviction. And maybe more importantly, because there is an election right around the corner and the American people can be the ultimate judge of who should or shouldn't be president of the United States.
That's true if one assumes that the system has not been tampered with or skewed. You know, in your home state, my home state, the Diebold or Diebold company, I guess the CEO or the founder of that company has made it very clear when he was selling the voting machines to the state of Ohio, that he would do everything in his power to make sure George Bush got reelected. Now, that may be an innocent statement, but given what happened here in Georgia in the 2002 election, there's enough room to doubt whether or not the people are going to have a legitimate say. Do you ever think about that, or do you think that the system is still honest enough to record votes and elect people that the people want?
I don't think that we can take the remarks of an executive who makes voting machines lightly. We have to change the system to have the source code be made by the government under conditions of transparency with audit capability and a paper trail. We cannot tolerate even the possibility of an election where the books are cooked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you say not even the possibility, do you think there's enough time between now and the next election to insist that some sort of safeguards or backups or paper trail can be included in these systems?
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that I've worked out with Rush Holt, who has a bill in that deals with electoral reform. By the way, Mike, this is a huge issue nationally. Wherever I go around the nation, it comes up at every meeting. People are concerned about the integrity of the ballot, about what happens when a corporation controls the machinery and can program it and conceivably create the results that it wants. Now, we hope that kind of thing will not happen, but we have to assure it doesn't by being actively involved, and we're putting up soon on our website an approach that all Americans can use to determine where they get information about the local election process, what kind of technology is made and is being used, how you can check it and check the credibility of the voting process itself. Mike, I'll be right back. I have to vote. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Okay. That sounds, I don't know. Should we let him go, Kathy? Huh? I don't know. All right. We're talking to Dennis Kucinich. We're going to leave the line open. I hope we don't hear any screaming or yelling from the House floor. He's talking to us from the cloakroom in the U.S. House to be present for these votes. Dan in Fort Worth, we're going to take your question first, and then Joe, our Brookings Bureau Chief in Oregon, and Jack in Washington, D.C. So you folks that are holding on to ask Congressman Kucinich a question, we will do our damnedest to get your question in. What I think is interesting is what Kucinich said about people around the country. Wherever he goes, they ask questions about the integrity of the voting system. That's scary. I don't mean scary in a bad way. It's scary that we've gotten to this point where people have to question it. I think the questioning is good. I think it's an excellent idea to question these this black box voting, so-called. Let me get...
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Congressman. Let's take a couple of calls. Can you take some questions?
Sure, absolutely. Let's
okay. Dan is calling from Fort Worth, Texas. Dan, you're on with Congressman Kucinich.
Hey, Congressman. Good to hear you. We're your meetup group in Fort Worth, Texas, and the gang's all here.
Well, thank you. Wow. Hello, Fort Worth. I'll be darned. Well, you're listening to... I guess I'm on the right show then. Thank you.
Well, Dennis, we love you, and we're working for November 2nd, 2004. We'll see you there.
Well, thank you, Fort Worth. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye now.
Okay, well, that was quick and easy. All right.
Amazing.
You got a crowd down there.
Well, you know what? Your show has a great listenership, and I'm glad that that people in Fort Worth are tuned in. We can have a chance to talk about things that relate to people all over the country, but it's nice to hear from people in Texas.
Yeah, thank God for the Internet. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Joe, you're on with Congressman Kucinich.
Yes, greetings from a Green Party member and a Kucinich supporter. I just want to ask this one question. What would Congressman Kucinich have to say to naysaying nimrods like Ray Taliaferro, KGO Radio San Francisco, who say that that you're running for president, but even you know that you're not going to win. You're just running to get yourself some name recognition for some other office somewhere down the line.
Well, every office I've ever run for, I've been told I couldn't win. I've told that from the time I ran for city council. And you know, it's kind of surprising, Mike, that everybody who ever holds a public office is told they can't win one time or another. This really becomes a test of spirit and determination and grit and the ability to hang in there. And so, you know, I've done that my whole life, and I'm in this to stay, and I'm running to win.
We're at 800 Talk Yes. Got a couple open lines here. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who is also a candidate for the Democratic nomination to be president. Jack is calling from Washington, D.C. Jack, welcome to the program. Say hi to Dennis.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fine.
Actually, Mike, I'm also Jack from Naperville, just moved to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I wanted to first thank Dennis for coming out to a coffee shop that I don't even think you probably remember it, but. Dennis came all the way out to Naperville, Illinois, the most...
Oh, I do remember that.
Second most conservative county in the country, and you showed up and really surprised the heck out of us. And I just wanted to say thank you first off and really appreciate you coming by.
Well, I remember coming out to Naperville and meeting with people there, and I appreciated the chance to be there.
My question, and I know you don't like to look down the road too far, but... And I am a very avid supporter of you, but I do have concerns about the money that's coming into your campaign and the poll numbers. And one of the big concerns is if you don't get it, I kind of would like somewhat of a guarantee that perhaps you'd stick with the Democratic Party and you wouldn't go over to the Greens or another third party.
Well, I'm not interested in doing anything but making the Democratic Party more relevant. If I wanted to run as an independent, I could have done that, but I'm a Democrat. And I've worked inside the Democratic Party to try to get the congressional Democrats to be more progressive. As co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, which is the largest caucus within the Democratic Party, I've been able to have an effect on the Democratic Caucus inside Congress. And as you may know, I led the effort inside the Democratic Party to challenge the Bush administration's march towards war in Iraq and organized 126 Democrats last October who voted against the Iraq resolution. That was two-thirds of our caucus. I think that there is a strong possibility that this race will go all the way to the convention, and that I'll go into that convention with a block of delegates, and I expect to be as competitive as anyone at that convention.
What happens after the convention?
We close ranks and elect a new president.
And Congressman Kucinich plans on that new president being him, right?
That's absolutely right.
That's it.
And I would also say that. I have no hesitation to say I'll support the Democratic nominee. We have to do that. We have to close ranks. And, you know, I have strong differences of opinion with many of the people running for the Democratic nomination, and we're making those differences known in the debate. But I think that there's going to be one overriding goal here, which is to create and chart a new policy. I happen to believe, by the way, that my candidacy presents the strongest contrast with the incumbent president, a whole range of of domestic and international policies. And so that is what I think will motivate mm-hmm. people to come out and vote. So, you know, and it begins with, Mike, the call for the end of the occupation in Iraq.
Let me ask you, I most people who follow you and follow your campaign and support your campaign probably would understand this, but very quickly, I don't want to hang you up here with a long answer. What does, just a couple of key points that differentiates your campaign from, say, Howard Dean or Wesley Clark or Dick Gephardt?
Well, I think I could compare it with Mr. Dean.
Okay.
Governor Dean has right now a position that more or less continues the occupation of Iraq. He told the New York Times a couple weeks ago that mm-hmm. he was for keeping 70,000 troops there.
Right.
Now, I am not for that. I believe that the United States must get out of Iraq, and I put on my website an exit strategy. I could think of the only candidate who actually has come forward with an exit strategy to get the UN in and the U.S. out.
Mm-hmm.
And my plan is to get the troops home by January 1st. And so I think that can happen. Now, Governor Dean hasn't taken that position, and I think that when you look at the military spending, which has been driven by fear, I've made it very clear that we have to cut the Pentagon budget, and we can do it without in any way jeopardizing our national security, but eliminate all these wasteful weapon systems, cut it by 15%, and put that $60 billion into a universal pre-kindergarten program for a daycare 5 days a week for America's children aged 3, 4, and 5. Governor Dean would not support that proposal. He doesn't want to touch the Pentagon. And he is not for a universal single-payer program. He's for keeping the program within the private sector, a for-profit health care system, which, by the way, has failed. And he ought to know that better than anyone. And then finally, on trade, I'm for canceling NAFTA and the WTO, and he won't go there. He says he's going to fix it, but if he knows enough about those trade agreements, he'll realize you can't fix them. They're written in such a way as to either you have to buy them wholesale or overturn them and start over.
Well, those differences then between you and Governor Dean are essentially the same as the differences between you and Wesley Clark and Gephardt and most of these most of the candidates. I'm aware, and I think most of your supporters are, I think most people are aware, that you're the only one with a true exit strategy. Do you think that the Bush administration has so angered or irritated the UN that your plan to get the U.S. out and the UN in might be not met with a whole lot of cooperation from the United Nations?
Well, look, in today's news, the UN is pulling back.
Right, they're pulling out completely, right.
So what I'm advocating is obviously a new direction, a new policy. That's what a new president is about. If we keep the course that we're on, and some people are saying we ought to stay the course, we will end up with an ever-deepening disaster of the loss of lives of American troops, of the loss of lives of innocent Iraqis, and of a tremendous budget deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars attributed to this war and the occupation. I've got a vote. I'll be right back.
Okay. Boom, boom, boom. If he doesn't make it back before the break, Kathy, you'll have to pick it up because I'm going to have to put him on hold. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Again, I understand that a lot of people that I really respect who listen to this program, who contribute to this program, who call this program, are Dean supporters, are Wesley Clark supporters, and even some, not many, but some Gephardt supporters. Again, I've made my position on these candidates very clear from the very beginning. Dennis Kucinich, Congressman Kucinich, is the person I support. I've also made no bones about the fact that if for some reason Kucinich does not wind up with the nomination, then I'm looking around within the Democratic Party to support whomever the nominee will be. I'm not going to abandon the party, and I would hope that a lot of people feel that way also, that we all know what happened in the 2000 election. Again, I'm not trying to put anything on the Naderites. You folks did what you felt was the proper thing to do, and bless you for it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can get some phone calls in here real quick. Al is calling from Pensacola, Florida. Al, say hi to the Congressman Kucinich.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, I have a question about the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you were got into the White House, what would your plans be for improving the for the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Okay, Al and Congressman Kucinich, I got to put both of you on hold while we take a quick break here. This will give you a chance to consider that that question, Congressman. We'll come right back. Stay with us. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich and a caller from Pensacola, Florida. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. We only have a couple of minutes left. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who is a nominee for the Democratic Party to be president. Right before the break there, Dennis, Al from Pensacola wants to know, once you're president, what are your plans for the Department of Veterans Affairs?
To make sure it's fully funded. This administration had one budget proposal that cut veteran spending by $25 billion. We have to make sure there's full funding for health care benefits for veterans, that there's housing benefits, that they can have concurrent benefits. So if they get health benefits, they don't have to give up part of their pension or vice versa. We have to make sure those veterans who are still suffering from Gulf War syndrome are taken care of, that veterans who are due to who have come in contact with depleted uranium in the field have the chance for long-term care. It has to be an approach that recognizes the sacrifice people make when they serve our country, and we cannot abandon them when they come back.
It's astonishing, this a little run of news stories in the past couple of weeks about soldiers on medical leave who are sitting down here at Fort Stewart, sitting at Fort Knox for weeks waiting to even be seen by a doctor. I can't believe that is happening in this country.
Well, I've heard from the parents of soldiers who are in the field, which indicates the level to which the soldiers are not really being well regarded. I mean, think about it. It's a view that just uses people and doesn't recognize that each person is sacred, and while they're in the service, and providing service, we ought to be serving them too.
That's very true. Very quickly here, Melbourne is calling from Nassau in the Bahamas. Melbourne, a quick question for Congressman Kucinich. Oops. What happened? We lost him? Okay.
The Bermuda Triangle problem.
That's what it is. Marge is calling from Merrillville, Indiana. Marge, do you have a question for Congressman Kucinich?
Good evening, Congressman.
Hey.
The Chicago Tribune last week started what they called a series of profiles of Democratic presidential candidates called the Contenders. It's running on Thursdays, apparently. Today's contribution was by Jeremy Menier, and I was wondering if they contacted you yet. It'd be a great way of getting your message and personal information in this area, anyway.
They did interview me, and I expect that profile will be running very soon.
Good. And I want to commend you for your awareness and efforts against the utilities in this country, because they're inching their way to deregulation. And
they're inching their way into our pocket is what they're doing.
Well, yeah, that's where I was going with that.
Marge, let me see if I can squeeze one more on here.
All right.
All right, thanks, Marge. I appreciate you. Well, I guess not. I guess that's it. Congressman Kucinich, thanks for taking time. I wish we could talk more. Maybe we'll do this again.
We'll try it again, and anyone needs information on how the campaign's going can go to Kucinich.us. I appreciate them checking it out. Thanks.
All right, will do. Thanks.
Thank you, Marge.
Talk to you later. Dennis Kucinich, you know who he is. He joined us from Washington, D.C., where he was on the phone in the cloakroom waiting for calls to the House floor to vote. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The United Nations is temporarily pulling its staff out of Baghdad while it evaluates the security situation, but UN workers will remain in northern Iraq, according to a spokesman. The spokesman would not say when the staff would leave Baghdad or give other details. About 20 UN staff members remained in Baghdad and some 40 others across Iraq. The decision was announced 2 days after the car bombing at the Baghdad headquarters of the Red Cross. Red Cross International Committee and the humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders also said Wednesday that they were pulling out workers, despite pleas from the U.S. administration to stay. The cost of occupation in Iraq are mounting in lives and dollars, and that is eroding support for the war and confidence in President Bush at home. The Pentagon announced Tuesday that the 115 American troops killed in combat in Iraq since May 1st, the day Bush declared combat operations over, exceeds the 114 killed by hostile fire during the war itself. In all, 355 service members have died, 138 during the war, 217 after it ended. 10% of the combat deaths since the war began have been in the Army National Guard and Reserve units. Canada said on Wednesday it was building barriers in the waters around its 7 nuclear power plants to protect against a possible attack by ships carrying explosives. Officials said that although they had no word of a particular threat, a security assessment recommended more precautions. Senior Republicans have begun raising concerns about the administration's strategy in Iraq amid daily attacks on U.S. forces there. And although most Republicans feel President Bush's overall positive assessment of reconstruction to be the correct path, some warn of political trouble if there are no immediate signs of improvement. Asked whether he favored any policy changes in Iraq, Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi, who avoided military service, has offered an unorthodox military solution. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down. See what happens. You're dealing with insane suicide bombers who are killing our people, and we need to be very aggressive in taking them out. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A man's Halloween costume caused an uproar at Palm Beach International Airport when it tripped an explosives detector during a baggage screening. The man was pulled off his flight to Chicago and questioned on Wednesday while a bomb squad inspected the trunk carrying 3 costumes patterned after the outfits worn in the film Ghostbusters, made up of PVC pipes, radios, cell phones, and batteries with wires attached. The trunk was rushed to a remote section of the airport. Officials had discussed blowing up the trunk but decided against it. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
I've been to the state fair twice. I've been embroiled in Texas politics, and I've dug into the thievery of Wall Street and Washington. But I've never seen such jaw-dropping stupidity as the latest proposal from George W.'s Interior Department. The boneheads in charge of administering our nation's policies toward the world's endangered species have decided that the way to save Asian elephants, Amazon parrots, and other species threatened with extinction is to kill them. What we have here is more of the ivory tower laissez-faire bourgeois that substitutes for thinking in this corporatized administration. Their assertion is that if America's pet industry, circus companies, fur and skin purveyors, and safari firms were able to harvest a big bunch of these already endangered animals each year, these corporations would pay harvest fees for each animal taken, thus allowing governments in these impoverished countries to funnel the money into better conservation programs for the animals that survive. It would be akin to letting a crime syndicate pay fees for its own heists so local police could fund crime prevention lectures. Of course, in the real world, what this harebrained scheme would do is to put a price on the head of every animal, providing an irresistible and uncontrollable market incentive for freelance entrepreneurs to kill, ship, and profit from endangered wildlife. Yet Interior Department officials are pushing blindly and unilaterally ahead with their executive reinterpretation of the Endangered Species Act, simply dismissing anyone who protests. As one Bushite scoffed, there are critics who are going to claim some kind of ulterior motive to our action. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, the motive is your mindless determination to twist all laws to serve corporate interests. To fight their perversion, call the Animal Welfare Institute, 703-836-4300.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, no.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Somehow I'll return again to you.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. I just got an email from, who's it from? Daryl. He says, mention the chat room. We've got four people in here right now. We could use a few more. Okay, that's the chat room. It's live chat at MikeMalloy.com. We also have the message board with all sorts of threads. But go to the chat room. Maybe Kathy or I will try to drop in there during the program here in the next few minutes. MikeMalloy.com. They have to be registered to get in the chat room, right? The registration is very simple. How long does it take? Seconds? Okay. MikeMalloy.com. They apparently have some discussion going in the chat room. I'd like to get a few more people there. Nick is calling from New Jersey. Nick, welcome to the program. Sorry I couldn't get you on in time to ask Dennis Kucinich a question.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Nick, there you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
And hey, I caught you on CNN the other day, and they really put a good reptilian on with you.
Yeah, he's from that guy is from Atlanta. He's with the Southeastern Legal Foundation, I believe, although they didn't identify him as such. Southeastern Legal Foundation is the group whose leader, what's his name, Kathy? I'm drawing a blank now, but he was finally, he was busted a second time for approaching forest, U.S. Forest Service people at a national park here in the Atlanta area and asking for oral sex. So they finally had to let him go, and they, you know, it's just a mess. Just a mess.
I've never seen him before, but just my initial impression was this. It was like the reptilian brain took over.
Yeah, right. He wasn't the brightest bulb in the marquee, no.
Yes, and I was disappointed that they put this guy on with you because you did very well, and here this guy, and I could tell by your reaction that, you know, put someone on with me who can actually debate, but this guy was just...
Well, if they don't debate, if they're quiet like this guy was, if they're not quiet, they scream at you and call you unpatriotic and... Mm-hmm. You know, I hate doing those gigs because I don't know what's going to happen, but Kathy had said, nah, go ahead and do it. You haven't done it for a while, and besides, you got to let people see how raggedy you're starting to look. So
yeah, you look pretty raggedy.
I did look raggedy. Well, see,
you did okay.
I've lost some weight. I've deliberately, I'm trying to get, what is it called, Kathy, the body weight index? Is that the BW?
Ah.
BMI, body mass index. I've been trying I've been trying to get mine down, but below 23. You know, if you're around 25, that's border. Yeah.
Hey, my guess is you're into your fifth or sixth decade, so you're doing okay.
Well, you're very close.
Yeah.
Very close. Anyway, the reason you really called, not about me, but
I really called, Mike, is because. You know, I can't go into everything that I know and everything that I've been involved with.
Right.
But I know, and I've been involved with the military for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm in the twilight zone here because the thing that never gets mentioned is the fact that if Iraq was a threat to anybody,
right,
who would have taken him out?
Israel in half
damn
a heartbeat.
Right. Damn, Skippy.
Yeah.
This is the power in the Middle East. So all this BS about Iraq being a threat to us, it's like we're the 300-pound weightlifter, and we get angry at the 98-pound weakling, mm-hmm, who's walking into the weight room, you know?
Well, the thing about the whole nuclear threat thing was such a lie. The last time Iraq had a nuclear, or they were building a nuclear reactor, the Israeli Air Force
took
it out in half a heartbeat. Jesus. Right, so George Bush comes along, and all these other thugs, who are these criminals who run this country now, and manufacture this nuclear threat. The Israeli intelligence was sitting back watching all this going, Jesus, God Almighty, not only has the American government gone insane, but the stupid American public is lapping this up. They really believe this?
Well, they don't know. It's amazing.
Well, by God, we should know. We should know.
Exactly. I'm a single dad. I've taught my son I've raised my son since he was four. He's 17 now, and he knows what's going on. He knows that we are not the 800, we're the 1,500-pound gorilla,
mm-hmm,
in the room.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody's even close to us. Not microbially close to us. And Israel is the 800-pound gorilla in the Middle East. And the fact that the American public and the media, that's what pisses me off the most, is that the media bought off that, oh, they're a threat to us.
I know.
Israel would have taken this guy out years ago.
Well, not only that, but I think had Iraq really been a serious threat to its neighbors, which is another lie that the Bush crime family put out there, that the Turkish government would have put an end to that threat very quickly. Because the Turks also have a problem with the Kurds. The Turks and the Kurds have been fighting for 35 years. So the whole thing, everything. Now, are these impeachable offenses? Is it an impeachable offense to take a country into war based on lies?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, it is.
Or does it have to be oral sex in the Oval Office before we will impeach a president?
I get the blowjob in the Oral Office.
Well, you're not supposed to say that on the air.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
That's just a fact. He got a BJ, and this guy got a BJ, and he wasn't the greatest president of all, but I think he is a logarithmic tier above what we have now.
I think you're right. Nick, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate your call. Come on, folks. You know. All right. I want to get to this. All right. We'll do John first. John is calling from Riverside, California. John, I'm going to take you right away because I want to move on, but you want to bring up this Israelis in Iraq thing, right?
Well, yeah. For one thing, you know, the Israelis wouldn't be saying Jesus Christ Almighty. It would be more like something like to the terms of they or something.
Well,
like
okay.
That.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, being Jewish myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right. Jesus, but, I know. Jesus saves, Moses invests. I understand.
Actually, I swear to God, I'm an atheist now. So
I understand that too.
But you know, your previous caller is absolutely right about us being the 1,500-pound gorilla, which is not what the United States is all about. I think this war was criminal in its concept.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so too.
Yeah, this whole thing was just wrong, and you know, I'm so glad you asked. Dennis Kucinich about why he didn't, why no one's introduced articles of impeachment on Bush. I think he'd be surprised.
Well, his answer makes logical sense. We've talked about this on this program before. There's not enough votes. First of all, introducing a bill of impeachment immediately, sure, become a matter, a part of the congressional record. But then it goes to the House Judiciary Committee, where it would immediately be butchered in its crib. There would be nothing, and there'd be no there. Until the Democrats get control of the House, nothing's going to happen. But my feeling was that somebody should introduce a bill of impeachment just so it's a matter of record that this corrupt administration has done what it's done, and the American people and its representatives did not completely just sit back on its collective ass and let it happen.
Agreed.
But I guess nobody's going to do it for the political reality of it would go nowhere.
Well, that and Democrats don't have any balls. That's the biggest problem.
Right. You guys got to be a little careful with the scatological terms, if you don't mind. John, I have to ask you, what's going on? Riverside, California, is that in the fire zone?
We're about, I would say, right now with the current fires, I'd say we're about at least 60 miles away from the nearest fire. We've had more problems with it being overcast with smoke and ash raining down on us everywhere. It's like it's been so bad. I wasn't even comfortable leaving my dogs outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Real bad. I got three friends who have lost homes.
Jesus. Well, listen, thanks for checking in.
Crestline, one in San Diego.
Wow. All right, well, keep your eyes open.
I sure will.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in, John. All right, I want to get to this thing. This little microburst of gross domestic, what do they call it now? We used to call it gross domestic product. What's it called now? Is it still gross domestic product? Okay. GDP, that's the broadest measure of economic activity. Everything bought, sold, manufactured, whatever. Every Coca-Cola you buy, every house you sell, it's all included in there. Everybody on the right, the political right, is just, I mean, they're peeing all over themselves because the Commerce Department has reported this little burst of gross domestic product growth of, what was it, 7.2% annualized. That didn't grow 7.2% in the last, in the third quarter. It's just if you annualize that, it works out to about 7.2% annual growth rate. And that more than doubles the 3.3% in the second quarter. Okay? Now I don't like this any more than you do, but let's talk about it for just a second. 6.6% of that growth rate was in consumer spending. Okay? So 85-90% of it was spending, which is the fastest pace of spending since 1988. Now why? In the third quarter. Well, there's a very quick, simple reason, a quick answer. The child tax credit checks and the lower rates of income tax withholding. That's where it came from. This, you know, this term jobless recovery is becoming set in stone. The American worker has always been productive. The American worker now is being lashed to be more and more productive, or you're going to lose your job. You want your job to go to India? You don't?
Well, then stay at your desk 50 hours a week.
You know, that sort of thing. Now, many economists, I'm not talking about these Bush thugs, but real economists expect the impact of those tax cuts to fade in the fourth quarter, which we're in now. Well, yeah. Now, U.S. stocks, the stock market, when they heard about this today, a big-ass yawn. What did it go up? 6 points? Because the people who deal in financial markets understand what this was. This was that little burst of spending that came when all of a sudden people have an extra $20, $25 in their paycheck because the withholding rates went down. But surprise, surprise, come next April 15th. And these so-called child rebate checks that went back. Quick break. We'll be right back. I want to talk about this a little bit.
Shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. He works all day, every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money to take care of his baby. Here's a sim.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I've been to the state fair twice. I've been embroiled in Texas politics, and I've dug into the thievery of Wall Street and Washington. But I've never seen such jaw-dropping stupidity as the latest proposal from George W.'s Interior Department. The boneheads in charge of administering our nation's policies toward the world's endangered species have decided that the way to save Asian elephants, Amazon parrots, and other species threatened with extinction is to kill them. What we have here is more of the ivory tower laissez-faire bourgeois that substitutes for thinking in this corporatized administration. Their assertion is that if America's pet industry, circus companies, fur and skin purveyors, and safari firms were able to harvest a big bunch of these already endangered animals each year, these corporations would pay harvest fees for each animal taken, thus allowing governments in these impoverished countries to funnel the money into better conservation programs for the animals that survive. It would be akin to letting a crime syndicate pay fees for its own heists so local police could fund crime prevention lectures. Of course, in the real world, what this harebrained scheme would do is to put a price on the head of every animal, providing an irresistible and uncontrollable market incentive for freelance entrepreneurs to kill, ship, and profit from endangered wildlife. Yet Interior Department officials are pushing blindly and unilaterally ahead with their executive reinterpretation of the Endangered Species Act, simply dismissing anyone who protests. As one Bushite scoffed, there are critics who are going to claim some kind of ulterior motive to our action. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, the motive is your mindless determination to twist all laws to serve corporate interests. To fight their perversion, call the Animal Welfare Institute, 703-836-4300.
Washington, we're now determining the size and the shape of a package. It's not if we have a package, it's how big will the package be.
I've got your package, buddy. 800-TALK-YES is the number, 24 past the hour. So this little burst of gross domestic product growth, led by a 6.6% growth rate in consumer spending, the fastest pace of spending since 1988... real economists are saying this is a joke, a sham, and a myth. It's going to evaporate very quickly. Now, what have some of you said about this? Well, John, writing from San Diego, says he acknowledges the headline, U.S. economic growth surged in the third quarter at the fastest pace in nearly two decades, yada, yada, yada. John writes, okay, I have some immediate problems with this approach to the good news that an actual economist like Joseph Stiglitz would seemingly agree with. One, the gross domestic product, much like the value of the stock market, is not really a great way to measure the overall health of the total economy. Two, the so-called growth rate was driven by consumer spending. We have no money. That means the spending is being propped up by more credit card debt. Next, consumers should be saving that $300 or $600 wad of cash they stole from their children in Bush's so-called tax cut, not spending it on more plastic crap from Walmart. And finally, to hell with it. I could go on, but seriously, why bother? I used to arm myself with the truth. Now I just arm myself. John in San Diego. Yeah, I hear you, buddy. From Jim in Haley, Idaho. Hi, Mike. The good news regarding this quarter's economic numbers only confirms what I've said all along. This recent spike in growth is attributed to the child tax rebates families have recently received. When you look at this and compare it to the previous tax giveaways to the rich, there is a compelling result. The previous Bush tax cuts have been given to a tiny, non-spending, rich elite. Alternatively, the recent tax credits have gone more to the average middle-class family. My contention regarding the tax policy is this. Arguably, two-thirds of our economy is driven by consumer spending. These consumers are us, the majority of the American public. If the trillions of dollars were put in the hands of the majority, the consumers who spend, our economy would be in much better shape than it is today. This, then, is the opposite of trickle-down or supply-side economics. This is demand-side economics. To paraphrase, one of the first things we learn in freshman economics is build it and they will come versus fill a need, find a need and fill it. Supply-side versus demand-side. We are going to hear a lot from the chimp regarding the so-called success of his economic policies, but the reality is that this is a one-time spike in consumer spending since, well, because it's all spent. That's a good point, and this is what Democrats in Congress, when the Bush tax cuts were being rammed through the House and the Senate, this was what the Democrats were trying to say. If you're going to cut taxes $1.3 trillion, why in the name of all things holy would you give it to people who are not going to spend it and contribute it back, and use it to activate or stimulate the economy? Why not give it to people like Mike Malloy, like John, like Harold and Susan and Ralph and Marge and everybody else? Because we will spend it. But that's not the way it works. You see, I didn't contribute anything to George Bush's campaign, nor did I contribute, nor will I ever, to the Republican Party. So, Jerry, writing from Fresno, California. Hi, Mike. Big headlines in major newspapers are touting the growth in the gross domestic product this last quarter. It's the largest increase since 1988, they say. Bush will spin this as a result of his tax cuts. I don't accept that. Would Congressman Kucinich care to comment on the growth of GDP, what we contributed to, what we expect in the next year? Well, Jerry, I'm sorry we didn't get your question, but I think you know the answer now. It is attributed to the $300 or $600 child tax credit that was sent out that people immediately went out and spent. And it was also attributed... Oh, wait, we got a break here. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are building a giant telescope that will look through the Earth and into the universe. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deep in the ice of the South Pole, researchers are building a telescope to look for tiny particles from outer space. It's different from most telescopes because instead of pointing toward the sky, it faces into the Earth. The telescope is part of an international project known as IceCube. Jim Mattson is a physics professor at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls, and he's the education director for IceCube. Mattson says the new telescope will use the Earth as a filter to screen out everything except cosmic particles called neutrinos. Neutrinos travel across the cosmos and through anything that's in their way. Mattson says these high-energy particles can tell stories about what has happened inside the sun or distant stars.
These neutrinos, in essence, are created when the reactions take place inside the sun or inside other stars. And they come shooting out and enable us to tell what's going on inside the star without having to be there at the star itself.
Trillions of neutrinos pass through the Earth every second. They leave no trace except for the rare times when they collide with an atom. Then they create new particles that leave trails of light. Mattson says they'll follow those trails to find the neutrinos. He says it's like trying to follow a boat at night by looking for its wake instead of the boat itself.
So if you can imagine having buoys on the surface of a lake, and at night you could have a boat go by, and just by seeing when the buoys bobbed up and down, you could track the motion of that boat without ever having to see the boat.
The IceCube telescope will sit more than a kilometer deep in the ice of Antarctica and stretch more than 8 city blocks on each side. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick Tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Fireback.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I'm interested in solving problems quickly. I want more people working.
Yeah? Well, you're not doing a very good job, Georgie Porgy. Now, with all the talk about this spike in the gross domestic product this third quarter of 2003, one fact that Bush and his thugs are not talking about is the net job loss for the third quarter 2003, which was another 42,000 jobs. Since this jackass illegally seized power in this country, we have lost 2.5 million jobs. I don't care how much the GDP spikes. These people are so desperate in one quarter. These people are so desperate to find something to hang George Bush's reelection on, or his, what they consider to be his reelection, what I consider to be another attempt to destroy representative government in the United States of America. But they seek anything they can, and if it's not there, they'll create it, i.e., weapons of mass destruction, or the internal threat. So, therefore, we need the U.S. Patriot Act. In this case, it's this nonsense about the gross domestic product, which is not an indicator of what's going on in this country. It's an indicator of how much was bought and how much was sold. That's all it indicates. How much was bought from a 39-cent light bulb to a $6 million McMansion by some rich fat cat corporate bastard who's ripping off his investors and lying to the Securities and Exchange Commission. All of it goes into the mix. And again, the people who run the Bush crime family, they are venal, they are neo-Nazis, they are insane, but they're not stupid. And they understand this so-called child tax credit that went out, the $300 or the $600, depending on whatever the factors were. I don't know. It didn't affect me. My children, thank you, God, are all grown and gone. But the spending of that money, in addition, a lessening of the amount of money withheld from people's paychecks. So that goes into the mix, and all of a sudden, people are saying, well, gee, let me jump in the SUV and drive to Kmart or Walmart and spend all of this, which is exactly what happened. Now, all I can suggest, while the right-wing talk show hosts, I'm sure, are saying, say the liberals were wrong again. Look what our lustrous leader has done. Yeah, yeah, here we go. Recovery. Let's wait until the end of the fourth quarter. Even with the Christmas, the perversion, the corruption of the birth of Jesus Christ that we call the Christmas shopping season, even with that factored in, let's wait and see what happens in the fourth quarter. Okay? Now, what the Bush crime family is hoping for, first of all, we got to assume that the figures from the Commerce Department are right. Okay, sure they were, just like the figures from the Defense Department were right, just like the figures from the State Department were right, just like the figures from the EPA were right. Why should the Commerce Department be any different from any other cabinet-level position in the Bush crime family? Every one of these sons of bitches lie. Every single one of them. Right or wrong? Did Colin Powell lie? I don't care if it was based on faulty intelligence. If Colin Powell is so stupid, which I don't think he is, of course it would. Of course he knew it was a lie. Has Rumsfeld been lying? How about Ashcroft? Does he lie? How about this jerky Spencer Abraham? How about him? How about Elaine Chao? How about Christy Whitman, the hapless Christy Whitman, before they got rid of her, did she lie? Duh! So is the Commerce Department lying?
Well, no, Mike. These figures are right. Forget that story you heard there about the boy that cried wolf. No, this time they're telling the truth. The economy grew, or the GDP grew at 7.2% annual rate in the last quarter, Mike. It really, really did.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's all I want to talk about that, because it's just jive turkey nonsense. But when you know, I'm sure that the right-wingers are just... I heard Bush today stumbling all over his tongue at one point. I don't know what the hell I was listening to. I'm talking about his tax policies were bringing about an economic recovery. Yeah, okay. Sure it is. This story just came out this afternoon on the Associated Press. The linkage between the deals to make money in Iraq and whether or not you contributed to the Bush campaign, right? It works out like this. Companies that have been awarded so far $8 billion in contracts to rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan have been major campaign donors to President Bush. Now, this is not a surprise to any of you. I understand. It's not a surprise to me. What is a surprise is that it's being reported. $8 billion so far in contracts to rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan have been major campaign donors to Bush, and their executives of these companies have had important political and military connections. That's according to a study released today. The report was released by the Center for Public Integrity, a Washington-based research organization that produces investigative articles on special interests and ethics in government. Its staff includes journalists and researchers, yada, yada, yada. The study of more than 70 U.S. companies and individual contractors turned up more than 500,000 in donations to Bush's 2000 campaign, more than they gave collectively to any other politician over the past dozen years. Now, who's getting, well, first of all, State Department spokesman Richard Boucher, you know him, he's another one of these smarmy, hypocritical, arrogant little bastards. He defended the way contracts are awarded. No bids, just you kick in the money to the Bush campaign, you get your payback. Richard Boucher said, quote, "The reason that these companies get the contracts has nothing to do with who may have worked there before. Competitive procedure," he says, "is very, very important to us, and we have done that in Iraq." Now, that is a lie. It is beyond a lie. I don't know. What's worse than a lie? It is a filthy lie? What? But again, as we've pointed out over and over on this program, these people don't even bother spinning anymore. They just stand there and lie. Richard Boucher, State Department. Yeah, well, you know, this is all based on the competitive contract idea, and that's what we've done in Iraq. You lying son of a bitch? No, you haven't. No, you have not. Kellogg, Brown and Root, Bechtel, and Halliburton have walked away with the lion's share. Companies that contribute to Bush get these contracts. They are no-bid contracts, Boucher. Everybody in America knows it. Well, that's not true. The only people in America who really know it are people like you, gentle listener, or people like me. The average American doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, contracts? Yeah, well, you know, we're fighting against communism? No. Oh, that's right. Islam. Sorry.
The top contract recipient, of course, you know this, is the Halliburton subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root. $2.3 billion awarded to support the U.S. military and restore Iraq's oil industry. Cheney's company. Halliburton's current top executive, David Lazar, said yesterday he was offended by criticism of the company's Iraq work. But he says, well, I don't think it's about Halliburton. I think it's about political issues. Bechtel was second with $1 billion. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. God. By the way, the Center for Public Integrity to put this report together, and you can find it. I will link it tonight or tomorrow on my website. The center's findings are based in part on 73 Freedom of Information Act requests that they had to make over and over again to get this information. Now, how are these corporations that contribute to so heavily to Bush, how are they handling their special stewardship? Let's assume that the Center for Public Integrity is correct, and we know they are, that if you contribute heavily to the Bush campaign, to the Bush crime family, to the Republican Party, you're going to be rewarded, because what will happen is the Bush crime family, once it assumes power, will start two wars, destroy things, break things up, kill a lot of people, cause devastation, and then you can go in and make a lot of money. Your private corporation that gets tax dollars, and that's your payoff from the Bush crime family. Okay, let's assume that if they do that, they're going to do it honestly. And if we make that assumption, we once again are dead wrong. For example, and we've been talking about this, now it turns out that the U.S. government, the American taxpayer, is paying Dick Cheney's former firm Halliburton, quote, enormous sums, $2.65 a gallon, I didn't realize it was this high, for gasoline imported into Iraq from Kuwait. Halliburton goes over there. They set up a deal with the Kuwaitis to take refined gasoline, kerosene, all sorts of oil byproducts or oil products, Put it in tankers. Have it shipped up to Iraq. They charge $2.65 a gallon from it, for it. Now, the Iraqi oil company, run by our little puppet regime there, is paying 97 cents a gallon to import the gasoline. And at the pump, the Iraqis are paying, what does it say here, paying anywhere from 5 to 14 cents a gallon for the gas. But the American taxpayer is being charged by Halliburton $2.65 a gallon. Now, we used to shoot people for this. We used to take, in a time of war, and we're in an endless war now. We're in a global war now, according to Too Stupid to Be President. This is not like World War II or World War I. World War II is just just a little brush fire. World War I, nothing. Some trench deal over in Europe. This, the global war on terrorism, is an unending war. It is massive. It's going to involve 60 countries. It is death, destruction. It's nuclear bombs. It's all sorts of things, okay? So we're in a war, according to George Bush. All of that, according to George Bush. What do we do with war profiteers? In a time of war, we jail them, and the worst case, we execute them, right? Don't we? Well, historically, isn't that what most countries do who wage war? If they find out that somebody within their country, unless they're well connected, is ripping off, in this case, the American taxpayer, aren't they jailed? Isn't their license to do business pulled? In extreme cases, do they not get a .45 caliber slug in the back of the head? Oh, I'm sorry, that's Russia and China. Not here. And yet Halliburton and Bechtel and the Carlyle Group and Kellogg Brown and Root, these companies that support and put Bush in office, they put Bush in office. Bush is no more running this country than you are, than I am. But the companies that put him there and the executives with those companies, this is just one example, $2.65 a gallon for gas that's costing them 90 cents. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. Halliburton spokeswoman Wendy Hall defended the company against what she said were false statements about what's going on. She says that wartime work is expensive. And Halliburton only recovered, quote, a few cents on the dollar, end quote, for fuel costs. Wendy Hall, the spokeswoman for Halliburton, will... the reason she's paid, whatever the hell she's paid, is to stand there and continue the lies. You want to know some more? The Bush administration's reconstruction budget for Iraq... What else is in there? 600 handheld radios and satellite phones at an average cost of $6,000 each. However, Iraqis are able to buy satellite phones from Jordan for $900 each. But you and I are going to pay $6,000. We are going to take 6,000 U.S. tax dollars and stick it into the pockets of these corporations who put George Bush in office. Not $900 for a satellite uplink phone, $6,000. Another expense, 80 pickup trucks at a cost of $33,000 per. Of course, new pickup trucks here started around $14,000. So more than twice what the trucks cost. Oh, we don't care. 5,000 computers at a cost of $3,000 each. But a computer here can be bought for well under a grand. So why doesn't the Bush crime family, I'm just joking here, don't take me seriously. Why doesn't the Bush crime family buy the computers here for $800 per, and if you bought 5,000 of them, you could probably get the cost down to about $400. Why not buy them here for $400 and then ship them to the people in Iraq who need them instead of charging U.S. taxpayer $3,000 each? Oh, never mind, I'm just kidding. A witness protection program in Iraq, for Christ's sake. That will cost an average of $200,000 a person. Witness protection program in this country costs about $10,000. 20 times. And we're not even getting bend over stamps for this, are we? Huh? We're not. I haven't gotten mine yet. Have you gotten your bend over stamps yet for Kathy? Have you haven't? No? Okay. Who is this on line two? Oh, Jesus, I thought I had scared him away. All right, David, make it quick.
Oh, hi, Mike. I just wanted to... what do you think about this? Jim Carrey said it first when he said smoking. This economy is growing at 7%, 7.2% to be exact.
No, that's not what happened at all. Haven't you been listening?
Well, I've been listening to what...
The economy is not growing at 7.2%. David, you're like so many right-wingers. You can't understand the most basic concepts. What the 7.2% was a growth in the gross domestic product. It has nothing to do with economic long-term economic growth. You do understand that, don't you?
Well, granted, okay.
Hold on, David. We have to take a commercial break here, and we'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. By the way, we've got three open lines here. 800-TALK-YES.
Now I ain't no fan of Saddam Hussein. Oh, please don't get me wrong. If it's free in the Iraqi people you're after, then why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price of oil.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylan.
Ah, soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office.
Yeah, get out.
Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
The best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
The Mike Mola Show.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there. It just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Mola Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. We have a flying monkey right winger here, David, who occasionally calls in to harass me. Now, what were you saying about the good news today, David? I can't believe that you would assume that because the gross domestic product went up 7% annualized. It didn't go up 7%. If you annualize it, in the third quarter, it would work out to 7.2% for the year. And you know that money came from the child tax credits, right?
Well, Mike, no matter where it came from, the child tax cuts, the growth hasn't been like this in almost 20 years. But the biggest thing is...
No, you're wrong again. It's not a question of growth. It's a spike in consumer spending. David.
Okay, let's just call it a spike.
Well, call it consumer spending. It's not growth.
Call it what you will.
If I have $10,000 and I go spend $7,000 of it, I have not just grown my net worth. I've just depleted it.
Well, like I'm trying to get out here. Call it what you will. We're just arguing over semantics here.
No, we're not. We're arguing. I'm taking a position of truth. You're taking a position of Republicans.
Okay. Call it truth, whatever. My main point is, Mike, and you look at the Democrats, what they have to offer. They're fighting
against themselves. Look, David, I hate to keep interrupting you, but let's not look at the Democrats. The Democrats are not saying, oh, we've got 7.2% increase in spending. Oh, Jesus, the end of the rainbow is here. Nobody's saying that. Let's look at what economists are saying. Economists are saying this is illusion. Wait till the end of next quarter when all this disappears.
Okay, Mike.
Here's the problem.
I'm trying.
Here's the problem.
Interrupting.
Here's the problem. You right wingers are so desperate for something to justify this murderous thug that you have in the White House that you seize on something like this as if Bush were walking on water. This is smoke and mirrors, David. You've got to know that.
What I'm trying to say, Mike. Please let me get this out.
Sure. Right? Go ahead, David.
This is a big point.
Okay.
Tom Daschle and the Democrats. When Bill Clinton was first elected,
Do you say Tom Daschle and the Democrats? Why not say Nancy?
Well, because I'm trying to get this out.
Well, say Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats.
Okay, Nancy Pelosi. I call her Lucy.
Okay, hold on a second, David. Is that the music, Kathy? All right, David, I have to put you on hold. I'll come back and get you right after the break at the top of the hour. Do stay with us. We're at 800-TALK-YES. We have two lonesome open lines here. Hello. 800-TALK-YES. I'm Mike Malloy.
When we go, we never return, 'cause there's just one lesson that we've got to learn.
to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The cost of occupation in Iraq are mounting in lives and dollars, and that is eroding support for the war and confidence in President Bush at home. The Pentagon announced Tuesday that the 115 American troops killed in combat in Iraq since May 1st, the day Bush declared combat operations over, exceeds the 114 killed by hostile fire during the war itself. In all, 355 service members have died, 138 during the war, 217 after it ended. 10% of the combat deaths since the war began have been in the Army National Guard and Reserve units. The United Nations is temporarily pulling its staff out of Baghdad while it evaluates the security situation, but UN workers will remain in northern Iraq, according to a spokesman. The spokesman would not say when the staff would leave Baghdad or give other details. About 20 UN staff members remained in Baghdad and some 40 others across Iraq. The decision was announced 2 days after the car bombing at the Baghdad headquarters of the Red Cross. Red Cross International Committee and the humanitarian group Doctors Without Borders also said Wednesday that they were pulling out workers, despite pleas from the U.S. administration to stay. Senior Republicans have begun raising concerns about the administration's strategy in Iraq amid daily attacks on U.S. forces there. And although most Republicans feel President Bush's overall positive assessment of reconstruction to be the correct path, some warn of political trouble if there are no immediate signs of improvement. Asked whether he favored any policy changes in Iraq, Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi, who avoided military service, has offered an unorthodox military solution. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down. See what happens. You're dealing with insane suicide bombers who are killing our people, and we need to be very aggressive in taking them out. Canada said on Wednesday it was building barriers in the waters around its 7 nuclear power plants to protect against a possible attack by ships carrying explosives. Officials said that although they had no word of a particular threat, a security assessment recommended more precautions. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A 6-foot-tall emu led a half a dozen pest control workers on a 90-minute chase through woods and brushland before the flightless bird was snared and then gang-tackled. Gene Hamm has caught raccoons, possums, coyotes, deer, squirrels, foxes, and other critters in his job, but Tuesday's chase was his first encounter with an emu, an ostrich-like bird native to Australia. "That was by far the toughest thing we've ever caught," Hamm said. "It was quick, and it put up a tough fight once we caught it." For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike
was putting up his own for sale sign. Someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
I've been to the state fair twice. I've been embroiled in Texas politics, and I've dug into the thievery of Wall Street and Washington. But I've never seen such jaw-dropping stupidity as the latest proposal from George W.'s Interior Department. The bonehead nation's policies toward the world's endangered species have decided that the way to save Asian elephants, Amazon parrots, and other species threatened with extinction is to kill them. What we have here is more of the ivory tower laissez-faire bourgeois that substitutes for thinking in this corporatized administration. Their assertion is that if America's pet industry, circus companies, fur and skin purveyors, and safari firms were able to harvest a big bunch of these already endangered animals each year, these corporations would pay harvest fees for each animal taken, thus allowing governments in these impoverished countries to funnel the money into better conservation programs for the animals that survive. It would be akin to letting a crime syndicate pay fees for its own heists so local police could fund crime prevention lectures. Of course, in the real world, what this harebrained scheme would do is to put a price on the head of every animal, providing an irresistible and uncontrollable market incentive for freelance entrepreneurs to kill, ship, and profit from endangered wildlife. Yet Interior Department officials are pushing blindly and unilaterally ahead with their executive reinterpretation of the Endangered Species Act, simply dismissing anyone who protests. As one Bushite scoffed, "There are critics who are going to claim some kind of ulterior motive to our action." This is Jim Hightower saying, "Yes, the motive is your mindless determination to twist all laws to serve corporate interests. To fight their perversion, call the Animal Welfare Institute, 703-836-4300.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. And we're talking with a member of the Flying Monkey Right, David, who I don't know. I guess just likes to have his ass handed to him. That's why you call this program. David, I know you're defending this uptick in spending that's reflected in an annualized 7.2% increase in the gross domestic product today of numbers released by the Commerce Department. But let me just add something to the mix, okay?
Okay.
Part of this, according to Mark, who sent this to me, he was listening to Boston's NPR program today. It's called On Point. And an economist was giving the breakdown on this last quarter's economic uptick. Part of it, the balance of trade has improved enormously, apparently. Now, partly this is due to the 14% decline of the U.S. dollar. Do you ever think about things like that, David? The other factor was the big sale of capital equipment to Southeast Asia. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means, in other words, we're improving our balance of trade by helping our competitors build the factories that will eliminate the rest of our manufacturing base. And as Mark writes, with good news like this, who needs bad news? Do you take things like that into consideration, or do you just see or hear these right-wingers say, oh, 7.2% increase in the GDP, Mike, and go crazy? Which is it?
Mike, this is a part of this. Let's just say that every point that you have made, I'll acquiesce it to you. But I know my limit. Every man has to know his limitations. And when it comes to the body politics, I know my limitations. But Dick Morris said something profound when he said, perception is reality in the body politics.
Oh, my God. So you're going to tell me that it's okay.
Perception. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, look at it for what it is, Mike.
Okay.
Look at it. 7.2 stands out. And that's what people see right there.
But you don't.
They're not like one.
But David,
like
David, you don't, because you're not a fool. You're not fooled by perception is reality, right, David?
Of course not. But what I'm trying to say, Mike, this, no matter if this is a spike, we'll see. Like you said, let's see how long does this last. How long will this keep on going? But my main point is not just the 7.2. My main point that I'm trying to say is where the Democrats are today, the Republicans were when Bill Clinton first got elected.
What
I'm saying is where the Democrats are today.
Which is, now what are you talking about? You're talking about...
Think about it. They don't have the House, they don't have the White House, and they don't have the Senate. The Republican people seem to forget this. Republicans were out of power when Bill Clinton first got elected. The difference
The Republicans were not out of power. The Democrats were not out of power in the House. That's not true.
No, what I'm saying is when Bill Clinton first got elected, when Bill Clinton first in 93, when he first took office,
yeah.
Republicans didn't have the House and they didn't have the Senate.
They had the Senate. Didn't
they? No, they didn't.
Okay.
Not when Bill Clinton first got elected.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
My main point is on this, Mike, is what is the difference between the two parties? Doing what the Democrats are doing today, bickering and fighting and saying constantly Bush bashing. There's no positive message. You don't vote for someone by being negative,
David,
about your other.
Stop! Now I'm going to pot you down for a second because I can't get you to stop talking. That's absolutely not true. You're going to tell me that the Democrats are being negative. Let me take you on a little journey back to 1994, David, when the Republicans under Newt Gingrich, when Newt Gingrich brought off the Republican Revolution with 78 freshman seats went to Republicans. Every single word out of that sucker's mouth was negative, hate-filled, and destructive. And enough people bought into it that Gingrich led the so-called Gingrich Revolution. Hold on, David. I got you potted down so nobody can hear you. So we're just going to have to take turns now. So you're trying to tell me that Democrats are negative right now? That is absolutely not true. If I point out that you have no shoes on your feet, are you going to accuse me of being prejudiced against shoes simply because I say you don't have any on your feet? What the Democrats are doing right now is pointing out the reality of this horrible, corrupt, illegal administration. Do you have a problem with the truth?
Mike, it's not a problem with the truth. You can do that, but at some point you're going to have to be positive about your message, your ideas. Big government is good. Taxing the rich into oblivion is good. We can give you free health care. We can give you free pills. I need to hear more of that.
Nobody's talking about free anything. Where do you get this nonsense?
Universal. Well, it's just, I'm on a roll now. Forgive me. I'm on a roll.
Well, but you're not making sense. You're on a roll. I mean, you're rolling about what? Everything has come out of your mouth so far, David, has been right-wing propaganda or patently untrue. Nobody in the Democratic Party has ever suggested free health care. What they've suggested is universal single payer. Pay attention to that word, the second part of that word, David. Payer. Single payer health care. Where people have a right to sign into the program, and yes, they have to pay for it, but it's affordable. It's something they can handle. Nobody's ever said free health care.
As I said earlier, perception is reality.
All right, David, you're not making any sense. I'll give you another 30 seconds to wrap it up, but you're really not making any sense. You keep coming back to perception is reality. Okay, let me give you one. Rolling Stone gathers no moss. Okay, you know, it makes no sense. What you're saying makes no sense. But go ahead, finish up.
You gave me 30 seconds, okay? Mike, sure. You showed me much love today, and I thank you.
No, I have no love for you. No love for you, David. Not a gram. I'm showing tolerance.
I'm a compassionate conservative. I have much love for you, Mike, and I like listening to you, and I like calling you because I hope I'm entertaining to you and to your listeners.
No, you're not entertaining. You make
no
sense.
Well, let me just say this, Mike. Let me say this, all right? Tax cuts will grow this economy. That is a good thing, all right?
Tax cuts to the working or middle class just might do it. When is George Bush going to bring that into effect?
Well, let me just say this, Mike.
Right. Okay, move on. That's right. Don't answer the question.
Let me say this, Mike.
Sure.
Tax cuts, I want to see someday where the highest percent of anybody, I think, should be 25%. The federal government should not take more than some 25% of what you...
Fine. David, in order to get that, David, then what you need to do is get your ass to work and get some of these billions upon billions, hundreds of billions of dollars away from the Department of Defense. We don't need it. You want a tax cut? Okay, fine. That's great. Get some of these enterprises... get a responsible person running the system like Bill Clinton, who turned red ink into black ink. How about that,
Mike?
Never mind,
Mike. You want to say that Bill Clinton turned it? Yeah, we'll just go into a whole nother argument. But what?
That's right, David. I got a boogie, pal.
Goodbye, babe.
All right, thanks for checking in. Jeez, Lawrence is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Lawrence, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
On a more somber note. The Kennedy tax cuts only worked because they were matched by closing tax loopholes. All the Republicans like to talk about, oh, Kennedy did these great tax cuts. He did, but he closed a bunch of tax loopholes with it.
Well, also, let's remember what the top tax rate was when Kennedy cut them. What was the top tax rate? 84%? 76%? It was almost confiscatory. Mm-hmm. And where did that come from? Well, let me think. Oh, that's right. 8 years of Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
Who happened to have been a Republican.
And who warned about the military-industrial complex.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, this big push in demand came out of tax checks, for targeted tax checks. But the problem was all that did at the end of the day was shift national debt around. It went from one household account to another household account. The key indicator that you really ought to be looking at, because all you're doing is shifting debt, and that masks an economic implosion. And thus we have the jobless recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Your man Clinton, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I'm looking at an index called the Index of Help Wanted Advertising in Newspapers. Clinton came in, and it was 70. He left, it was 90. Today, it is at 37.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this – you know, I like to think that I've been a conservative Republican all my life, but when you see these numbers, you just sit back and think, you know, we're doing something wrong.
Well,
37 is your index versus 90 when Clinton left office, 70 when Clinton took office.
Okay, let me ask you something. You identify yourself, Lawrence, as a conservative Republican. You tell me, what is your boy, I would assume you voted for George Bush, what is he and his economic advisors and his entire government, but let's just keep it on the economy, domestic economy, what is it that you think they're doing wrong?
What they're doing wrong is that all their tax cuts are aimed at the rich who just take it, liquidate it, and don't invest it, don't spend it. They just put it into...
Okay, part two of the question. Why does Bush turn around and say that sort of tax cut will stimulate the economy when even conservative Republicans like you know that that is not true?
Because he can find enough people on the Democratic side of the aisle to go along with it. And thus, everybody in the Senate, with like two exceptions, is a millionaire. Most of the people in the House are millionaires. And these people are looking after one another first, second, and third. And you and I get in at the end of the day.
So you're saying that Bush could not have pulled any of this off without the complicit action of the Democratic Party, keeping in mind that the Republicans have majorities in both houses and the Democrats have about as much power other than the power to filibuster. They have about as much power as I do.
The Democrats voted for NAFTA, and that's where.
You're going to go back to what? 1994, 1995. I'm talking about now.
I'm talking about where the jobs. This is one of the reasons why we have a jobless recovery. It costs you nothing to take that factory in Kannapolis, North Carolina, and ship it to Mexico, and then it's to your advantage now to ship it to China. And the Democrats were cheering that on, saying globalization is inevitable. Let's get with it. And once you move towards a system that does not create jobs and move towards productivity enhancements, by definition, you've gone to something that's just going to consume itself with debt until it implodes one day.
Well, then what we need to do is elect Dennis Kucinich, because he said on the second day of his administration he will do his best to cancel GATT and NAFTA.
We can cancel NAFTA with 6 months' notice. We just write him a letter and saying, we're leaving in 6 months. That's in the NAFTA treaty.
Okay, but nobody on the Democratic Republicans.
You've noticed that, haven't you?
Well, Republicans are going to stay 1,000 miles away from that. Democrats, with the exception of Kucinich, I haven't heard one Democratic
nominee talk about.
Well, yeah, I've noticed it. So what? I've noticed it. But there is a Democrat who says we've got to get out of it, and his name is Kucinich.
Is the party machine that pulls Wesley Clark out of nowhere, and suddenly he does these amazing things in the polls.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a duopoly.
I hear you, Lawrence. I got a boogie.
Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
The right side, the only side. Hey, listen here. I'm a Republican.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free, and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Oh, God. 24 past the hour. Okay, a couple of emails here from David. Mike, all of the mainstream television schmooze outlets I watched this evening, from Jim Lehrer to Fox, parroted the same line to explain the third quarter GDP growth, that it was due to the Bush tax cuts and increased consumer business spending. No mention of our war in Iraq. Doesn't that figure into the GDP as well, like all the plywood being bought up in the U.S. and shipped to Iraq for reconstruction, for example, not to mention the defense contractors? Dave in Tampa wrote that. And then Shelby, who runs RadioPower.org, said the following. Mike, the upswing in spending also has to do with the huge orders being placed for military supplies to fight the so-called war in Iraq. All of the rations, the uniforms, ammunition, spare parts, the billions being pumped into the war machine equals more spending. All the companies that provide for the Pentagon in turn buy materials. Another source of this upswing in spending is a totally phony increase in auto sales, which are tied to the huge rebates and low-interest financing, which has made the big three lose millions. The third and final false contribution to this upswing is the raise in remortgage loans. This is the working poor financing away their very homes to put food on their families, as Bush likes to say. Well, yeah, both of you, Shelby and David, of course, you're right. You're right. But I don't know if you're challenging what you've heard on programs and on this one, that this consumer spending is being fueled for the most part, you know, at the Walmarts and the Targets the garden supply stores. It's being and the Toys R Us is being fueled by the child tax refund credits and the drop in the slight drop in withholding, which increased people's paychecks, the working class, by what? $8, $10, $12, $15 a paycheck? What did yours increase, Kathy? Remember you told me that it went up like, what, $8 or $9? What?
Mine went up, I think it was $20 a month.
$20 a month?
Yeah.
Woo, take that out and blow it on a
Big Mac.
Big Mac and a large salad.
No, supersize it.
No, we don't go near those places. Okay. So that's what we're talking about. If you have an opinion, want to weigh in on this, join us. John is calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. What's up? I have two things, and then the one thing I want to say for my point. First thing is about your chat room. Every time I come to your site to try to enter your chat room, I just find the button anywhere. You might want to talk to Webmaster about that.
You can't find it even now?
You know what? I checked like maybe 20 or 30 minutes ago, and I just looked. It just looks like a bunch of text. And
well, you know, no. All you have to do is get any page where there's a well, Kathy will tell you. Kathy?
All right.
Oh, wait. I have to. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Kathy will tell you when I put you on hold. Let's go on to your.
Okay. The second quick thing I want to also, people at Democratic Underground, we love your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And finally, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. I know you're the trained professional, so feel free to cut me off anytime. But when I was listening, that idiot David that you had a little while ago, man, I just wanted to smack him silly. Where do you think the working class is going to find jobs? In Mexico? Or maybe we'll retrain them so they'll become computer programmers. Oops, those are going off to China. Or maybe they'll be lucky enough to work at a phone bank and bug people during dinner. Oh, oops, those are going off to India. The rich are taking these tax cuts, and they're not reinvesting them back in the economy. They're investing in factories where they can pay slave wages out in India or somewhere, and just completely demolishing middle class. And the American sheeple, instead of, like, fighting against this, continue to go to Walmart like the bunch of idiots.
Hey, John,
they are.
John, I got a break, but I'll put you on hold. I'll hold you over because I'll respond to that. Let me put you on hold. We'll take a quick break here and come back, and Kathy will pick up the phone and tell you how to get in the chat room. There's a button right there, but she'll show you where it is. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Reagan is a-cutting the budget, making the Democrats scream. Says we got to control inflation, quit spending our money on everything. But this year's tax increase, why, it's the biggest in history. Round and around we go, where we stop, who knows, the American dream.
Thieves in high places, they've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists are building a giant telescope that will look through the Earth and into the universe. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Deep in the ice of the South Pole, researchers are building a telescope to look for tiny particles from outer space. It's different from most telescopes because instead of pointing toward the sky, it faces into the Earth. The telescope is part of an international project known as IceCube. Jim Mattson is a physics professor at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls, and he's the education director for IceCube. Mattson says the new telescope will use the Earth as a filter to screen out everything except cosmic particles called neutrinos. Neutrinos travel across the cosmos and through anything that's in their way. Mattson says these high-energy particles can tell stories about what has happened inside the sun or distant stars.
These neutrinos, in essence, are created when the reactions take place inside the sun or inside other stars. And they come shooting out and able us to tell what's going on inside the star without having to be there at the star itself.
Trillions of neutrinos pass through the Earth every second. They leave no trace except for the rare times when they collide with an atom. Then they create new particles that leave trails of light. Mattson says they'll follow those trails to find the neutrinos. He says it's like trying to follow a boat at night by looking for its wake instead of the boat itself.
So if you can imagine having buoys on the surface of a lake, and at night you could have a boat go by, and just by seeing when the buoys bobbed up and down, you could track the motion of that boat without ever having to see the boat.
The IceCube telescope will sit more than a kilometer deep in the ice of Antarctica and stretch more than 8 city blocks on each side. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
The law signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
He's such a moron. All right, back to John in Greensboro. Where were we, John?
I was just saying that, you know, and that the American sheeple just, like, sit around. And I have a really disturbing theory as to why it looks like, you know, this American-style capitalism works. And emphasis on the you know, concept of looks like it. What most Americans don't realize is that most commodities on the planet Earth are traded in American dollars. And when they're traded in American dollars, all these big corporations, these banking institutions need to do to get access to those resources is to simply print money, is to simply go into debt. And so basically you get these resources for free. And what's been going on right now is that very suddenly there's been a current of countries getting scared to death of the United States, the Bush crime family, and they're beginning to do their business in euros.
Right, right.
What's happening right now is a very steady, very scary devaluation of the American currency.
Right.
And the minute it hits critical mass, I'm scared. You know, I was born in Argentina, okay? I've got relatives in Argentina. You know, 4 years ago, they were feeling like all happy middle class. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, we love, you know, globalization, all this.
Right.
And bam! Overnight, their currency wasn't even worth toilet paper.
That's right.
And the average American wanker, I'm sorry, just doesn't see the danger that they're in. It's like, and when I tell people this, they look at me like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. they look at me like oh well, brain. I'm just, you know, they say, hey John, you don't need to worry about that. You know, blah, blah, blah. But it's so frustrating. It's so unnerving. They don't understand that the style of capitalism we have in this country is literally eating us alive. It's like a drug habit. It's like a heroin habit. And personally, you know, I know your philosophy on what to do when the revolution happens. I've already made provisions for me and my own.
Hello, John? I guess the revolution started. All right, John just disappeared. Is that him calling back in? Check and see if it is. Is that John? No? All right, John, we kind of got the gist. I hope you weren't shot or something, you know, or zapped with somebody from Rumsfeld's office. Yikes. But we got the gist of what you were saying, John. And you're right. So many of those issues that you become aware of, or I, or somebody, you know, we all have our issues, and we try to tell people, oh my God, look at this. And you're right. People look at you like, oh man, chill, take a break. Whoa, have a drink, smoke a doobie, relax, sit down. Linda is calling from New Orleans. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I was listening to the three prior callers, and what they said and what you said, all makes a lot of sense. I was going to say what one of them said. I'm only going to add one thing now because it's been said, is that supply-side economics, which is basically what Reaganomics was and what Bush is doing right now, only works when the factories are here.
Yeah, that's...
And the money is reinvested here, and the factories or whatever stays here.
Mm-hmm.
And none of that is here. It's, mm-hmm. Everything is in the third world now. And basically what Bush is doing is creating America, the third world.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think those of you who have suggested this sort of scenario, and I've said it myself, they're trying to drive this country as low as possible. Kathy and I were having a discussion the other night about you know, revolution. And I pointed out, and I think this is true, that the revolution always comes from the middle class. I don't care if it's Castro, who came from the middle class, or Gandhi, who was an attorney, came from the middle class, Martin Luther King Jr., who came from the middle class. capitalism hates the middle class because capitalism understands that that's where the revolution may come from when capitalism really becomes predatory. So what to do? Well, destroy your enemy. Eliminate the middle class so that you only have, instead of the high, the middle, and the low that George Orwell talked about and economists have talked about, you have two classes, the upper 5%, the lower 95%. Now, this is one of the reasons that there was no revolution in Iraq, even though Saddam Hussein deserved to be revolted against. And it was because 11 years of UN, U.S.-backed sanctions destroyed the middle class in Iraq. So no one from the so-called lower economic or educated classes ever leads a revolution successfully. It takes a strong middle class, and that is a major threat to capitalism, predatory capitalism. A lot of people think, well, capitalism wants a middle class. No, it doesn't. It does not want a middle class. What capitalism wants is power and control over global everything. So I do believe, I agree with you, that what Bush is doing and his cohort, what they are doing, is driving the middle class, or attempting to, in this country, into extinction, so that you have people who are working for $5, $6, $7, $8 an hour, who are constantly hungry, constantly competing for the few remaining resources, in a state of confusion, and unable to mount a revolution in this country. Now, a revolution in this country traditionally has not been with guns. It's been at the ballot box. Have you noticed how when people are hungry or people are unemployed or people are whatever, they tend to disengage politically? Or they tend to just sit back and bitch and complain about it rather than organizing and removing from power the people who are oppressing them. In this country I'm talking about. So I think you're right, and I think people have suggested it. This attempt to destroy the middle class in this country is a Bush hallmark.
Well, I don't know what we can do about it other than, I've been collecting petitions to get Dean on the caucus for my state, and I've been very active as a Democrat in local elections. Like right now, we have a crazy governor election. It's just insane. We have this guy who is a first-generation American from India, and there's a woman who's been here forever, and she was lieutenant governor, and she's extremely qualified, and he is running such a dirty campaign against her. And she's a Democrat, of course. We're trying to get her in.
Right.
And he's got all the bucks and all the money. And we'll see what happens. But we're working on her campaign. And the joke is we'd like to say outsource Jindal because he's from originally from India.
Right. I get it. I've heard about your the candidates down there. I haven't followed it very closely because obviously I'm in Georgia, and we just had the theft of the governorship here in 2002. So I hope you can get the Democrat elected.
Oh, we're really trying, and I'm also what I'm doing is some of the people I contact to sign petitions. I'm telling them about Diebold, and they say what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
And they don't believe me. And I say, okay, wait, let me go home and print something out on my computer, and I'll bring it to you. And just read it.
Well, that's the thing to do. It's very easy to get frustrated. Sometimes I get so frustrated I just want to gouge my eyes out. But if you have, if you bring these things up, just like John from North Carolina was talking about, how frustrating it can be to when you bring up an issue, whatever your particular issue is, and people look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? They don't know because they haven't seen it on television. They haven't necessarily read it in the paper because maybe the only paper they read is USA Today. So they're just not tuned in. Your idea is a good one. Print it out, give it to them, and say, here's what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. That's a good idea. Linda, thank you for checking in.
Okay, Mike.
All right, you have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right, take care. Yeah, I've said before, this program is not here to educate anybody. It's here just as a place to vent. But for people who are still attempting, now, away from this program, yeah, I'll do my best to try to educate. I'll hand out flyers and leaflets and stuff like that. I just don't believe that a radio program should be used to educate. Not this one, anyway. There are some that are designed to do that, but not this one. So if you are concerned, like our last two callers were, what John say, God, sometimes I feel like I've got a tinfoil hat when I try to explain to people, look, this is what's going on. And Linda, too, the solution is to get the information out. Just say, well, wait a second, have you seen this? Not that that'll do any good, but at least you'll have the satisfaction of knowing you made the effort, right? Gary is calling from Colorado Springs. Hey, Gary.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I personally want to applaud people who make the effort to get the information out.
Absolutely.
And I can appreciate how frustrating it is. And one of the things I keep telling myself is that I don't know when this particular person is going to get the message, but I'm going to give them the information, and it'll be a year, maybe it'll be 6 months, maybe it'll be 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have somebody look at me like I was a dunce and then think about it than simply nod their head and say, ditto, right, and
right.
not give it a thought.
Right.
So
right.
I appreciate the people who are questioning, but yet will still talk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of ditto heads don't do.
No, they're terrified, especially now with the pig man in wherever he is.
Oh,
you know, in a straitjacket someplace, drooling all over himself.
Oh no, didn't you hear the report today by his brother?
No,
he's progressing marvelously. Oh yes,
has he done touch the horsey a lot?
And yeah,
clap therapy. Yeah, okay,
and,
good.
And there's a lot of religion in his recovery too.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, he's getting into that.
Oh my God!
He sounds so much more calm and peaceful now.
Yeah, yeah. That's because he's still on the morphine drip. Way to take that away from him. You know.
No. You can't cast out images like that about him. Everybody loves him.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's calm. I would be out of my mind with all the spiders crawling all over me. Like I'm sure Rush has gone through. But anyway, yeah.
You were saying some things earlier about the economic data that they're spinning out there that was kind of interesting. The piece about they're counting the war as being some kind of great economic miracle is interesting. Your statement that they were counting the factories we were exporting overseas is an interesting little piece to keep in the back of my mind while talking to
neocons. Yeah, giving credit where credit's due, that came from two people who wrote in and presented their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the war machine. Remember, I hate to say this, but it's true. One of the reasons that after our intelligence division broke the Japanese code prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor, one of the reasons that was kept from the American public by the Roosevelt administration was because we were still in deep in the grips of this depression. A. B. There was a genuine interest on the part of the Roosevelt administration to assist the fight against German Nazism.
Mm-hmm.
But C. There was an isolationist feeling in this country, and Roosevelt needed an excuse to get us into the war, because I genuinely believe they wanted to fight fascism, but the secondary issue, if not the primary issue, was to get the engine of this economy going after that 12-year or 10-year-long, 8-year-long depression.
Mm-hmm.
So there is we all know, a wartime economy can be a booming economy. Now, we've got this cheesy, crappy war of aggression going on in Iraq, but it is still generating costs. It's generating the need for equipment and material and so on and so forth. So it's a terrible, terrible situation. It's something that war resistors have talked about for the past 80 years.
Yeah, and we all, you know, I think it's one thing to articulate against that, but having the mechanics of the numbers is a very useful thing to have at your fingertips.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know today on one of the right-wing talk shows that I listen to and call into and argue with them frequently, they were spouting this economic recovery of the last quarter, isn't it great, story. And some of the obvious things that come up about spending by increasing debt, transferring this tax, quote-unquote tax cut to our grandchildren is part of what we're doing. Spending down the equity in our homes is another example of how we're doing this. But the aspect of the money going to the war, the factories being shipped overseas, those are things that I think a lot of people can have a little better contact with. It's tough to get somebody excited. Well, it's not hard to get them excited, but it's hard to get them motivated and optimistic by telling them that politicians have always lied to us to lead us into wars.
Right.
How do you fight against that? How do you try to convince the neocons that they were lied to when they know they were lied to? They know that there's other reasons for it. They just don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But by picking on details like the inflated figures of the economy, you can make some headway. Another thing that I found interesting, one of your callers earlier was talking about an advertising index, saying that during...
The Help Wanted Index, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I got news for him. Nobody's advertising anymore because everybody knows there's no jobs out there.
Well, that was the point he was making, right.
Yeah, and it's just surprising to me to hear the neocons say that the economy's better because... unemployment isn't quite as bad as it could have been. And
right.
Of course,
well, this again, keep in mind, these numbers from today, nobody's talking about the fact that in the third quarter there was a net loss of another 46,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that see, we're not supposed to talk about job loss.
Mm-hmm.
This administration has presided over the loss of 2.5 or is it 2.75 million jobs in this country. I don't care what the GDP is or what the stock market is. That is a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
That is a catastrophe.
Right,
so,
and those are the facts and the figures that make the most headway in talking with these idiots, in my opinion. Although the screaming and yelling does feel good, and it feels good to hear you say it, but the numbers I can turn around and use tomorrow. So keep educating me along those lines.
Well, okay. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. We don't educate here, Gary. Derek is calling from Atlanta. Hey, Derek.
Hey, where's my American?
Where you're American?
Yeah, you had a clip from Bush earlier, said we each get one American. Where's mine? I want my American.
A look in your backyard over there by the fence.
They're worth quite a bit these days.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Hey, I had a couple of business stories. The last caller that you had on and a few before him talked about this advertising index, the Help Wanted Index. Shamefully, I've never heard of that, and I'm in the advertising business.
Well, I've never heard of it either, but it's one of those indicators that can tell you a lot. Derek, let me put you on hold. Come back as soon as we take a break, all right? Quick break. We shall return. Stay with us.
It's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a trickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on iAmerica Radio Network.
Amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to ieamericaradio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Yikes. We're almost out of time. It's almost, it's about five before the hour. We were talking with Derek in Atlanta. Derek, thanks for holding on. Where were we?
Hey, I'll make it quick. I run a company that deals with classified advertising. We work with over 60 college papers around the country and a couple papers here in Atlanta.
Right.
I won't say the name. You never know who's creeping out there to screw things up.
That's true.
It's too young to risk that. I started this in 96 and then sort of reorganized in 98. And under Clinton, we had, and it's not so much under him, but during that time up until middle of 2001, beginning of 2001, we had growth without adding publications. I mean, people were putting in help wanted jobs, and, you know, all kinds of
display ads
looking for employment.
Right, right.
Now, the only kind of classified help wanted we get through pretty much is for child care, looking for somebody to take care of their daughter from 3 to 5 p.m. and so forth, which I'm not knocking. Those are great. Happy to have any of them.
But you know why? Because people are having to work two and three jobs.
Well, yeah, and there's the fact is there are no jobs out there right now. None of the, you know, you got the low class or low, the, what do you, I don't want to say low class, that sounds really horrible, but the not the middle class jobs. You don't have the high, the
low paying
jobs. You've got the low paying ones.
Low
yeah.
paying jobs, right.
And, you know, they don't advertise in the newspaper. I mean, you can put a sign up at your local McDonald's. You don't need to advertise in the paper because people you want don't read the paper. I hate to say it, but that's, you know, mm-hmm. the case. So it's there is a dramatic shift. And I've got another guy, a friend of mine, who runs a vending company across the Southeast. He's got thousands of vending machines, M&M's, gumballs, things like that.
Right.
His sales have been off 30 and 40% over these last two years. Now, that's a pretty good sign when people can't part with a quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the guy can say, hey, you know, I got thousands of these machines all over the Southeast, and I can tell you it's off 30% this year.
Man, that's a great indicator.
It's a very good indicator.
Yeah, it really is. Pocket change, and people stop doing that, throwing a quarter in to get a handful of peanut M&Ms. Yeah, you're
exactly.
right.
And it's not picking up. It's not changing. I don't know what the solution is other than to vote this guy out, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think that's the solution. I really do. I don't see things improving either. There'll be these little spikes, these little spending spikes, and the Bush crime family will all throw their arms out of sockets trying to pat each other on the back, but that's
right.
About the extent of it. Hey, Derek, there's some music. We got to go. Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good night.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. You too. Yikes. Charlotte Jones engineered the program in Detroit tonight. Catherine Bay produced it here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman announces. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Thanks to the mods there also who keep the site going. Halloween program tomorrow night. Is that what you have up here? Going to discuss all the scary stuff. Nothing scarier than Bush politics. I don't know what she means. I'll be here tomorrow night. You too. See what the hell she's talking about. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, gas